Good morning and welcome to Faith Unscripted, a weekly program devoted to all things spiritual. Faith Unscripted is hosted by the Reverend Richard Hasselbeck, pastor of the historic Clarkstown Reformed Church, located at 107 Strawtown Road in West Nyack. You, your family, and friends are cordially invited to come and worship at the church every Sunday morning at 10:30. Pastor Rich loves to hear from our listeners, so please, if you want to say hello, give him a call at 845-429-1700. That number again, 845-429-1700. And good morning to Pastor Rich. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning, Vincent. Good morning to everyone in our beloved audience. And please give us a call. As Vince said, we love to hear from you. And we are truly an unscripted show, so you get to set the agenda. And if you don't do it, you're leaving it in my hands, and that could be dangerous. So please feel free to give us a call and ask any question about faith, spirituality, or the like. I can't guarantee that we will have the answer, but we'll do our best to either find it or think it through with you. And as we start, I just opened the scriptures and turned to Proverbs 15, which I thought is in the context of where we are now in our history, the history of the world, the history of the nation, a great place to look. Proverbs 15 reads, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise adorns knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly." So as we start a radio show, which is built really on words, my prayer is that these words that you hear over this station will be gentle and full of knowledge and wisdom. And for that knowledge and wisdom, we pray. And so here we go. This is our first show in Lent. And Lent, as I think I might have mentioned last week, is an old English word that means springtime. So there's a hopeful nature to Lent, and the hope is that what starts in winter, in coldness, in ice and snow and barren earth, ends in the beauty of springtime, of new life and new birth, new growth. I saw my first crocus the other day, which is a sure sign that better things are coming. And even though I've spotted a few snowflakes today, I know that that springtime is on the way. But why would Christianity call this season a season of springtime? And I think the answer is because it's a season of renewal. And it's the time of year that churches all over Christianity, not just my Reformed Church, not just the Catholic Church, or the Presbyterians and the Baptists and the Episcopalians, not just all of us, are turning again to a new springtime of spirituality in our lives. And that means turning away from that which is not life-giving towards the only one who does give life, and that is the Creator God. So the call of Lent is a call to return to God. The beautiful Jewish word or Hebrew word teshuvah means to turn around, to radically turn around and go in a different direction. Not just think in a different direction, but live in a different direction. It means to make amends. It means to change the way we are so that we can be more like the people God made us to be. And who were we made to be? We were made to be the images of God. We are made to be image bearers. Now, we tarnish that image when we turn away from God to idolatry. And you may be thinking to yourself, oh, idolatry, when we haven't had a golden calf in our church for, ever. But idolatry isn't just worshiping a classic idol. idolatry is making anything or any goal of ours so important to us that it takes the place of God in our lives. So for some people, their idol is the bottle. You know, they long so much for their next drink, or maybe for their next hit of marijuana or some other drug, that becomes the guiding force in their lives, and they forget the God who says you don't need substances to abuse, you don't need to feel good and to dull your pain with a bottle of scotch or a joint, because if you live your life in my love, you will know a joy that no bottle can give you. And that's borne out by the emptiness of the lives that any addict demonstrates. So we can be addicted to other things. I mean, it doesn't have to be substances. We can be addicted to sex, to sexuality, to our lusts. And if we're addicted to our lusts, we put our human cravings for pleasure ahead of the worship of the God who is the only one who gives true pleasure and true joy. So what does teshuvah mean? It means turning away from that and putting it behind us so that we can live more fully as God's people. You know, for some people, their career is their God. You know, they live for the next raise, the next promotion, the next perk that comes with career advancement. And that becomes more important than the things God gives us to love. It becomes more important than their families. It becomes more important than faith. And that's when it loses its perspective. That's when it becomes idolatry. So Lent is a time to turn away from our idols and to put God in first place. I was talking to a mother the other day about coming to church, and she said, "Well, I have trouble coming to church because the kids have soccer practice and baseball practice and this practice and that practice and the other practice," and my response was, "Is all of that more important than faith? You know, what do you teach your child when you tell them that soccer practice is more important than religious observance?" This is why I so respect observant Jews who take the Sabbath and they make it something sacred for themselves and their families. And they spend a day apart with God. For the observant Jew, the Sabbath, well honored, is like a day in paradise. And for Christians, the same could be true if we just took one day out of seven and said, this day is for wholesomeness. This day is for family. This day is for reflecting on the Word of God. We have such a great gift. We people of the book, you know, in the Jewish Bible, in the Christian New Testament, we have such a gift. It's a message from God. It's a love letter, or it's a collection of love letters. But if we never read them, what good is having the collection around? So isn't it important to take the time to read and reflect on the Word of God? When Proverbs says a gentle answer turns away wrath, that's not just a nice thing to start a radio show with. That's a reminder of how we ought to use the gift of speech. You know, we can choose to respond to people with gentleness, respect, and caring, or we can be harsh. And our harshness stirs up anger. Next verse. So what good is a harsh word when all it does is lead to anger? You know, think of all the harsh things that you may have said just in the past week. Has any one of those things borne anything coming close to fruitfulness? Has it brought forth in another person love, respect, agreement, or has it just made somebody else angry? And anger is a very unproductive thing to generate. So the reminder of this one little verse that I just happened to turn to, because we are really unscripted, a gentle word turns away wrath. A gentle answer, pardon me, turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. It's not something to just read and go past. It's something to reflect on. It's something to spend time on. And that is true of the entire body of Scripture. Righteousness, this is from the 14th chapter, towards the end, 34th verse. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin condemns any people. Now, there's something for us not to hear, not just as individuals, but as citizens of a nation. Righteousness exalts a nation. Are we a righteous nation? We talk enough about being one, but are we one? Are we sure our laws are just for everyone? Are they just for the people who are on the fringes of our society? Are they just for the disenfranchised? Are they just for the poor? Are they just for the ones who have no real political power, who aren't part of the elite governing structure? Because if our nation isn't righteous, then we are condemned in the eyes of God. Look at the laws that we have that justify things like abortion. If we don't turn as a nation away from that, we are jeopardizing our status of righteousness, and we are asking for the condemnation of the Almighty.
And we are blessed with a caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the air with Pastor Rich.
Hi, good morning, Pastor Rick. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I ain't never had a bad day. Look, I apologize for calling in, because I love just listening to your show. But
no,
I want to share
we love callers, so thanks for calling.
Yeah. So I'm Redneck. I host the Gumbo Yaya Radio Show on WRCR on Fridays. And I just wanted to share a blessing with you. I have Corey and Kelly, who are a Christian duo, award-winning Christian duo, are going to be joining me on my program Friday at 11 a.m. These two young ladies are wonderful, amazing, beautiful testimonies to our faith, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to invite you and your listeners to tune in and hear these girls, their songs and message of inspiration. And I'd like to hopefully introduce you to them on the air, and maybe they can join or participate with you sometime, because they are truly like wonderful, wonderful people, and they're great ambassadors for our faith, and they're a blessing to listen to. So I apologize. I'm not trying to do like a selfish plug, but I just listen to your program, and I think
it's an unselfish plug. That's, all right. Nothing wrong with it at all.
We're happy to have you calling in. And tell me more about Corey and Kelly and their message and their what they do and who they are.
Well, Corey and Kelly are a gospel duo out of Florida. They actually split their time, the two of them between Florida and Georgia. And they've been compared to like some of the, like the Maddie and Tay, who are, country artists. They started with Disney, and I don't know if people are familiar with, if you're familiar with them or not. But they're a Christian duo. They, I guess what's the best way? One's a school teacher, the other they run the faith and ministry at their churches. So their biggest song, their first song was "Come to Jesus," which really got them like some acclaim. And back in 2018, so Kelly's a third grade school teacher, and Corey is a worship leader at her community center, and they're very, I don't know what's the best way to explain. Like, in the commercial world, for a Christian duo to do what they're doing is impressive. So it's Corey, C-O-R-I, and Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y. You just look at, and you can't miss it. And like I said, they're going to be here on Friday. They have some beautiful songs, you know, all praise and worship. And you know, they go around spreading the message, spreading the love, and they're just good people inside and out. It's that rare group of people where you can say something nice about it and it's true, you know?
Well, I look forward. I will tune in on Friday and call in as well. So thanks for calling, and please, all of my beloved listeners, on Friday at 11 o'clock, tune into Corey and Kelly on, tell me your name of your show again, the Gumbo?
Gumbo Yaya Radio Show.
Gumbo Yaya, so, yeah.
Great name.
Yeah, so in Louisiana, a Gumbo Yaya is when people get together. There's a lot of food and a lot of talking.
It sounds like a restaurant I'd like to eat at, but I'll certainly be listening in. Take
again,
care.
I apologize.
No,
me, I apologize.
Thanks for calling in. Thanks for calling. Right, God bless you. God bless Kelly and Corey, too.
Our number, again, 845-429-1700, and we are indeed blessed with another caller. Good morning. You're on the air with Pastor Rich.
Wow, if that wasn't the most shameful self-plug I've heard. Only Bryan Avenue Bob does that more, but I was totally amazed that...
Father Clem!
You let that call through and let this guy just talk about his own show. But anyway... How are you, Pastor Rich?
Doing very well, Father Clem. How are you?
You know, I'm going to say I'm great, but, you know,
Are you Clemtastic?
You know, I'd like to say I wish I was. At this moment, I'm a little bit, you know, in a foggy daze, but I'll work myself through it. But I always like tuning into your show, especially when I'm in this type of mental dysfunction, because it always makes me see the brighter things in life and the good things. So I appreciate you doing your show and helping people out like myself, not just for the faith part of it. The bumpy noise in the back. I'm driving my van, and the potholes are, like, insane. But that being said...
Well, you mustn't be in Rockland County, then.
Yeah.
Right. I know. I am in... sad thing is, I am in Rockland County. And that aside... I just wanted to call in, and again, Redneck has a great show on Friday. He used to do a show, so I was just busting his chops. But I look forward. Actually, I listen to a lot of that, you know, gospel Christian music, you know, whether it's K-Love or some of those other stations. I really enjoy that type of music, so I'm really looking forward to Friday to see what this duo has for us.
I'm looking forward to it, too, now. So
we'll
be there together.
I know you have another call. You talk about this a lot, as do I on my show, the Clem in the PM, Monday through Friday, 3 to 5. But the Jewish people and their belief in God strong enough to put a day aside and just stay committed to the family, mm-hmm. unplug from the world. I just have much respect for all the Jewish people that do that. And even there's non-Jews that do that. I've come across people who take a day off, you know, whether it's Saturday, Sunday, and they just... unplug from the world and keep it a family day. So
well, and that's really a challenge that we can send out to Christians in Rockland County. Let's take a page out of the book of our Jewish brothers and sisters and give a day to God. And I don't care what church you go to church, and then spend the day with your family, have a nice meal, turn off all the stinking devices, and be in a wholesome, loving moment. Where you can talk about what's better than sitting around having a great meal and talking with your wife or your husband, your children, about the scripture passages that you heard in church in the morning, you know, and delve more deeply into it. The smallest group of people that you can call a church is a family, and people need to remember churches are not buildings. Churches are people. They're groups of people. They're assemblies. And so, you know, people in my church, at Clarkstown Reformed Church, we're the gathering of people who come together in Clarkstown in the Reformed tradition, and that's our church. But it's composed of little churches. It's composed of husbands and wives who are also legitimately assemblies of people who love God. So spend
right.
your time loving God at least one day a week explicitly. Give it to God. Because God has given us all 7 days of the week. He's given us abundance. He's given us beauty. He's given us in this country a freedom that is unprecedented in world history. So can't we say thanks for one little day Do we have to go to soccer games and soccer practices? Tell these coaches, look, champ, play your games on your time, not on God's time. And if everyone did that, we'd have a better community, a better world.
God bless. I shall see you later.
Thanks,
all the best. Keep up the great work. Absolutely.
And my beloved audience, Clem in the PM from you're 3 to 5, right? 3 to 5. We have another call.
Yes, we do. Good morning, caller. You're on the air with Pastor Rich.
Your life wouldn't be complete without the last of the Three Stooges.
Ah, Curly, how are you?
I'm fine. This is Bryant Avenue, Bob. And I have a show on from 6 to 8 on Friday night, so there. No, but anyway, I am calling in to tell you how much I really do enjoy listening to you each and every week. And I am blessed to know that you will be joining us at our luncheon on the 24th at Rick's.
Absolutely.
And I hope that you will honor us again by doing the blessing.
It would be an honor to do that. Absolutely.
Thank you very much. And I will not take up any more of your time because I want to hear the inspirational things that you say, not the three clowns that just called you on the phone. And it's all said with love, Pastor, because we all do know and love one another. So we're all friends. So it's all in jest.
It is a great little family here. You're absolutely right.
Absolutely right. And you have a wonderful day. And thanks for taking my call.
You too. God bless. Thanks for calling.
God bless you too. Bye-bye now.
Okay. Well, we are so into music that I think I have a piece of music to play. So can we do some music? This is the beautiful and talented Ava Aston singing last Sunday at our church, and I believe this is Eagle's Wings, but I might be wrong. But let's try it.
Shadow of the Lord, who are waiting, he should have a light. of his hand.
There it is, the lovely, the talented Ava Aston. If you're interested in more of her music, you can go to avaaston.com. And her CDs are available there, or you can stop by the Clarkstown Reformed Church on any Sunday and hear her beautiful voice in person. That's our services are at 10:30 Sunday mornings, and everybody is welcome. So thank you, Ava, for that beautiful music, which you bring to us regularly. One of the as we go through our program, I think one of the things I probably would be remiss if I didn't speak about is the crisis in Ukraine. And it's a historical issue, it's a political issue, but it is also a religious issue. And the religious issue is this: our brothers and sisters are suffering. There are people in the Ukraine, both Russian soldiers and Ukrainian soldiers and Ukrainian civilians, who are suffering terribly because war always brings suffering in its wake. What can we do? And I'd like to address that, but...
We do have a caller, Pastor. Good morning, caller. You're on the air with Pastor Rich.
Oh, good morning, Pastor Rich.
Good morning.
It's Franny.
How are you, Franny? Good to hear your voice.
Coming along. Good, good. That's all you could do. You complain every day, forget it. That's it, you know? That song I love. I had that song for my mom when she had passed away 3 years now and everything, so I like get very sentimental for it and everything, you know, that's it. But she sang beautiful, you know.
Ava has a beautiful voice.
Yes.
But the message of the song is also beautiful, that God does,
yes,
if we allow him to, lift us up,
yes,
in times of trouble.
Oh, yes, yes, and that's what I need. Something lift up, that's, believe me, with everything that's going on with me, sickness and everything, you know.
Well,
so can't complain, that's it.
Thank you for mentioning that, because as we listen to the song On Eagle's Wings,
right,
that song says God lifts us up. God,
right,
God,
right,
provides us for hope in times when we are feeling sort of hopeless.
Right.
And when we allow God to do it, God does lift us up and gives us hope and strength,
right,
and courage to face whatever is going on in our lives.
Right.
A lot of people have beautiful memories of that song because it has been played at their mother's funeral, at their father's funeral, and at specific moments in their lives when they've needed to hear the power of God is not far from us.
Right.
It's right there for us when we need that power.
Right.
When we need healing, turn to God for healing. When we need courage, turn to God for courage. No prayer goes unanswered. Every prayer is in some way heard and answered by God in power. We don't always see exactly how God is answering us, because God responds to our needs in the most effective way that God knows how, and that means he does what's most powerful in our lives.
Right.
I think I've told the story before.
Yes.
My sister Barbara,
right,
who died of ovarian cancer, she prayed for healing. She prayed and she prayed and she prayed.
Right, that's what I do. I pray.
But the healing that came to her was a healing of her spirit. She had been, you know, nobody could carry a grudge quite as well
I
as
know,
my sister. And that was all gone. God healed her of all of that. Through her last days.
Beautiful.
So God hears prayers. God does bear us up on eagle's wings.
Right.
And thank you so much for reminding us of that, Franny.
Looking forward, Pastor Rich, we're going to mix soup, my husband and I. You met us there.
Absolutely, we did.
Yes. So we'll be there, and Bob, so it should be very nice. I heard Clem on the radio before, too. I'll be talking to him later. You know, so that's it. And Kevin.
Well, thanks a million, Franny.
All right.
God bless you.
Okay, God bless.
Look forward to seeing you later in the month.
Yes. Okay,
bye-bye. Thank you, Franny. So, lifting us up on eagle's wings, where are those eagle's wings in the Ukraine? And the answer is they're there. But how do we, when you sit watching the news on the television, which is now, Ukraine in 24 hours a day, you at least if you're like me, you get the feeling that you're powerless. What can I do to help this army of refugees that are pouring through the Ukraine into Poland and other countries, other bordering countries? How can I make a difference? And the answer is pray. Pray for the people who are suffering. Pray for the mothers who are worried about their sons and daughters in who have taken up arms, either to oppose the Russian army or because they're in the Russian army. Remember, God loves the people on both sides of this thing. And where right and wrong lies is in his judgment. But we certainly know that there is human suffering going on, and it's terrible human suffering, because war is never a good thing. So what can we do? We can pray. We can pray as individuals. We can pray as families. We can pray as larger communities and church groups. Every person who hears my voice right now can do something for the suffering people in Eastern Europe simply by stopping and praying for them. Take 5 minutes. Take 10 minutes. Let God know what's in your heart, because that makes a difference. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Jesus is involved. He is not remote. And God cares about his people and is active in history. So pray for those who are suffering. And then the other thing is, do something if you can to help those suffering people by getting some humanitarian aid to them. Now, I believe, and Will, correct me if I'm wrong, the supervisors in Rockland County, the town supervisors, are all collecting humanitarian aid for the Ukrainian people. So if you go to your town hall, Clarkstown, or any of the other towns, the supervisors have boxes set up where you can bring first aid supplies, hygiene supplies, socks. I mean, bring anything that you feel would be helpful to those who are suffering in Ukraine. Will, do you know what they're looking for specifically?
It's mainly like funds and supplies, like you were saying
before.
They're
collecting funds?
I believe so, okay. Yes. We were talking about it briefly with State Senator Elijah Reichlin Melnick, and he had mentioned things like that and not colliding, making another fund just to have it all funnel, because they're eventually just going to be one big Rockland County collection as a whole, but going through each town hall.
So you can, in your neighborhoods, your family can do something. You can gather stuff in your neighborhoods. Church groups should begin to do this. There are things that we can do concretely in addition to praying. Not instead of praying, in addition to praying. And also, other places you can get your help to the Ukraine, or other organizations through which you can get your help to the Ukraine, are the Ukrainian churches in the area. Now, in New York City, there is the Cathedral of St. Voldemar, if I pronounce that right, Voldemar. And that's 160 West 80th Street, New York City. Their telephone number is 212-873-8550. That's 212-873-8550. And aid can get to the Ukraine through church groups that are organized by the Ukrainian Orthodox Church. Or there's a significant Catholic population. It's a minority population in Ukraine. You might want to talk to the folks at St. George's Ukrainian Church, 30 East 7th Street, New York City. That's 212-674-1615. The reason I give these numbers, we have the opportunity to do something. Might as well do it.
Did you want a list of the items they're prioritizing?
Absolutely.
As well?
Yes, please.
They need flashlights, batteries for flashlights, first aid kits, face masks, hand sanitizer, baby diapers, adult diapers, personal hygiene kits containing soap, toothbrush, toothpaste, dental floss, deodorant, shampoo, razor, and shaving cream, and finally OTC, over-the-counter kits containing aspirin, acetaminophen, cough medicine, oximeters, ACE bandages, and compression bandages.
Okay. So that's all stuff we can do concretely to help the folks in Ukraine. And beyond that, as you watch what's going on, think through what you're seeing and approach it with a with healthy skepticism, because in every war there's a fog, and part of the fog is created by propaganda. So when you hear the news media walking in lockstep, I think the smartest thing to do is to be a little bit suspicious and to do your own fact-checking. That does not mean going to the fact-checkers who call themselves fact-checkers on the Internet, but go to alternative sources where you can find information that also might be trustworthy, and just think through what you're seeing so you have a better sense of what's going on. Jesus says, be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. So what I'm suggesting is a wise serpent checks his facts or her facts. A gentle dove gets help to the people who need help, regardless of what's going on, because we do know that there is real suffering, and those people who are really suffering need our help. So please be generous in helping them.
By the way, we have a guest next week, Pastor?
We do have a guest next week.
An old friend of mine, from what I understand.
You are absolutely right.
Halfway down the AM dial when I used to know him.
Yes. I am proud to announce that Steve Fussell will be our guest next week.
Outstanding. The skipper returns.
He does return, and we're excited to have him. And he will be talking about his own faith. He's a very devout Catholic, and he has offered to share his devotion and his life of faith with our audience. And so next week, a real treat, we get Steve Fussell back.
Very much look forward to it. He's an amazing guy. He taught me on the board at RKO long ago. And great person. He really is.
He's a wonderful man.
Look forward to seeing him again. Been I haven't spoken to him in about 20 years. But a good guy. Good man.
So we've been talking about this for months, and
that's great.
A few weeks ago, I nailed down a date for Steve to come, and here it is. So next week we got him.
Also, you mentioned, and I don't know why I have a problem remembering it. Such a beautiful, straightforward prayer, and yet, if you could share it for me and for everybody, the prayer of Jesus.
It's called the Jesus Prayer, or
Thank
the
you.
Prayer of the Heart.
Okay.
And it actually comes from the Orthodox tradition, where the monks, in response to the injunction to pray constantly, developed this little prayer that they could pray while they were working, while they were eating, while they were doing whatever they were doing during their day. They would pray this constantly, and it goes like this. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Now, the second part of that prayer, have mercy on me, a sinner, is the prayer of the publican in Jesus' parable of the Pharisee and the publican. So just to remind our listeners of that parable, Jesus tells the story as he's speaking of prayer about two people who go to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Well, what's a Pharisee and what's a publican? A Pharisee is a religiously orthodox person who is devout in their observance of the law. So they're holy guys, Pharisees. A publican is a tax collector. So a tax collector is the antithesis of a Pharisee. A tax collector would have been considered in the time of Jesus to be a quisling, a traitor to his people, somebody who's consorting with the Roman enemies, collecting taxes, and probably being unjust and unfair. So these two people go to the temple to pray, the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee, Jesus says, goes up front, and he says something to the, along the lines of, "I give you thanks, O Lord, my God, that I am not like the rest of men, like that publican back there. I tithe more than I have to. I pray more than I have to. I do good deeds more than I need to. And I'm, you know, so much better than that guy standing in the back there, who's a publican." So that's the Pharisee's prayer. The publican stands in the back of the temple and says simply, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." Jesus ends the parable with the surprise reversal. He says, "That man, the publican, goes home justified. For everyone who exalts themselves will be humbled, but those who humble themselves will be exalted." So why is the prayer of the publican acceptable? It's acceptable because it's honest. "Have mercy on me, a sinner," is a prayer that every one of us can pray honestly, because that's who we are and that's what we need. We are sinners. We need mercy, God's mercy, because we sin in the eyes of a righteous God. And even if we don't think we sin badly, the Pharisee didn't think he sinned badly, and he probably didn't. He was probably a heck of a good guy, but he was arrogant about his goodness. He credited it to himself and not to God. "So I give you thanks that I am not like the rest of men. I do this, I do that, I do the other thing. I'm, you know, what a good boy am I." And Jesus says that's not a prayer that's acceptable in the sight of God, because it's not honest. Because if we're honest as we stand before God in his righteousness, we realize that we are so, so sinful, even if we just sin in what we consider modest ways, because all sin is abomination in the eyes of God. So the second part of the prayer is that prayer of the publican, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." The first part of the prayer, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God," are the Christological titles. Jesus is Lord. He is sovereign, right? So that's what we're praying to. We're praying to the Lord. We're praying to Jesus. He's human. He's the one who is like us in everything but sin. He, you know, was tired at night. He woke up in the morning and he was, you know, if he had a snooze alarm, he would have hit it so that he could sleep 10 more minutes before he had to roll out of bed. He was hungry when he was hungry. He had to go to the bathroom like we have to go to the bathroom. He was like us in everything but sin. He lived faithfully observing God's will in his life. So he's Lord, he's Jesus, he's human, he's Christ, he's Christos. That's the Greek word for Messiah. He's the chosen one of God. Son, he's the Son of the living God. So it's Lord Jesus Christ, Son, and he's the Savior. So as Messiah. So the first part of the prayer is acknowledging who Jesus is. "Lord Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And so the monks would pray this constantly, breathing in and breathing out. Breathing in, they'd pray, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God," or the living God, and breathing out, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." And it would unite with their breath so that they breathed in and they prayed and they breathed out and they prayed. And it became part of the rhythm of their breathing. And so they did train themselves to pray constantly. And it's that prayer is still beloved in the Eastern tradition. They have little prayer ropes, the Orthodox Christians, that look a little bit like the Catholic rosaries, or the Christian rosaries, actually. And they're on each bead, you do the prayer, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And they just go around the rope, just for no other reason than to just count how many times they're doing it. But it's a beautiful prayer, and it's important to realize how important prayer was to Jesus himself. 2 weeks ago in church, we had the story of the Transfiguration from the Gospel of Luke. And the way Luke tells the story, Jesus had gone up on a mountain to pray. And while he was at prayer, the glory of God shone in him and round about him. And so it's in a moment of prayer that Jesus, the human being, demonstrates and shows in his person the glory of God. Last Sunday, we had the story of the temptations after Jesus is, again from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is baptized in the Jordan, and at his baptism there's a manifestation of the Spirit, and he's filled with the Spirit, and the Father says, "This is my Son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased." So in that moment, Jesus knows who he is, and that's followed by the genealogy of Jesus, which ends up with Jesus as the son of Abraham, the son of Isaac, the son of Jacob, the son of Adam, the son of God. So Adam is the son of God. Jesus is the second Adam.
Well, thanks for taking us through the prayer, Pastor.
Oh,
appreciate
welcome.
That very much. And we have another caller. Caller, good morning. You're on the air with Pastor Rich.
Hi, Pastor Rich. It's Anna calling. How are you?
Anna, how are you?
How have you
been? Enjoying the show as usual and
Thank
stuff
you
like
very
that.
Much. Thanks
Enjoying.
For calling.
You had said that somebody was taking up collections and stuff like that with shampoos and toothpaste.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do I reach out for that?
The supervisors of all the towns are taking up those collections, but we'll be collecting things at church starting this coming Sunday. So,
okay.
So and any type of... Of shampoos.
Stuff like that and things like that you'll be collecting because you'll have to come on, or the Supervisor Holman wanted to get involved one time. So if he's listening, he could get involved.
Oh, he is involved. No. The supervisors, including George, are setting up collection stations at all
I
the town halls.
I cannot deliver it. The whole have to come and get it himself,
well,
okay? Like the mail trucks and stuff like that have done over the years.
We can get it there for you. The church
okay.
can get it there for you.
All right. Thank you.
God bless you. Thanks
Bye-bye.
For calling. So, as I was saying, and we only have a few more minutes, but prayer is a part of the rhythm of the life of Christ. On Transfiguration Mountain, he's praying and he's transformed. In Calvary, right, before his crucifixion, he's praying in the garden. And that's his agony in the garden. So Jesus prays passionately through his life, and we as his disciples need also to learn from that we must pray as well. And especially in moments of temptation, Jesus was tempted in the desert, in the wilderness, right after he began his ministry. He was tempted in the garden after he... right before he completed his mission in his crucifixion, death and resurrection. And in both those moments of temptation, he prays. And he prays with faith, and he prays confidently in the Father whose love has never abandoned him, even though sometimes it felt like God had abandoned him. So what do we learn about prayer as Christians? We learn that we must pray. In our moments of temptation, when we feel weak, when we feel inclined to give in to our baser instincts, if we call upon the name of the Lord, we will be saved. And that's a guarantee that you can take to the bank. Well, I wouldn't take it to the bank, I don't think, because I don't think they can deposit that stuff. But and Jesus also teaches us how to pray when he gives us the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that starts, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And the very first words of that prayer are so significant, I'd like to just reflect on them for the time we have left. Jesus says, "Our Father," as he teaches his disciples how to pray. God is our Father. By extension, that means our identity is as beloved children. We are sons and daughters of the Father. We are beloved of the Father, and that is who we are. We aren't what we do. We aren't what we think. We aren't what we have. And we aren't what other people think we are. We are what we are in the eyes of God. And in the eyes of God, we are the beloved. Now, if we are the beloved, that means you are, and that means I am. But that means everyone who we disagree with is also beloved of the Father. That means every sinner, big or small, is beloved of the Father. That means Joe Biden is beloved of the Father. That means Donald Trump is beloved of the Father. That means Vladimir Putin is beloved of the Father. God and Zelensky, beloved of the Father. When God looks at war, he sees his beloved children annihilating each other. And that makes the heart of God weep. Which is why we must pray for peace. Why we must pray that all of our beloved brothers and sisters will find in their hearts the ability to recognize God in the eyes of the other. I hear our music is playing. Thank you for joining us once more for Faith Unscripted. A program put on by Clarkstown Reformed Church, 107 Strawtown Road, West Nyack, New York. Our services are 10:30 every Sunday morning, and if you don't have your own church, you're welcome at ours.